Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Let's get right to Ukraine's West, the historic European city of Lviv, and reporter Joseph Lindsley, who we've been checking in with every morning. Joe, I know you made a lot of friends on here in the Midwest when you were at Notre Dame, but your excellent commentary here is making you many new friends via the radio. Hope you're doing well. How are things going today?
Thank you, Bob. Well, today is we're in a mode of expectation or anticipation here in Lviv. For maybe 4 or 5 days, I was hearing quietly from sources, things we couldn't verify or publish, that there were rumors of increased rumors of Russian attempt to attack the city of Lviv, which has sort of become the logistical headquarters to bring goods in from Europe, and also a refugee exodus point. And then yesterday, the British foreign minister said, and she tweeted, that there's increased fears of chemical warfare from Russia, which sort of confirms some things I had been hearing on the ground. And so obviously when you hear something like that, it does, you know, create an even increased sense of alertness. Nevertheless, we have gone, it has been Sunday, it was the last time we had an air raid alert in Lviv. So it remains calm here, and with a very serious sort of effort to prepare. And you just spoke about friends, and I would say, you know, I've been in Ukraine now for 2 years, and almost everyone I've got to know well during that time in different capacities I have somehow collaborated with in these past 2 weeks. So we really have seen the strength of Ukrainian civil society, where whatever people's talents are, whatever they can do, everyone is coming together, whether to check up on each other or to help each other prepare for whatever might happen.
We are certainly admiring the fortitude of Ukrainians. It seems like part of the Russian strategy with these horrible attacks on civilians is to demoralize Ukrainians to the point at which they would just give up the fight. Can you gauge the morale? How is it over there right now?
Well, and yeah, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, I spoke with someone who had just arrived there from Kharkiv, and after 2 weeks of constant shelling and living underground, the morale, you know, in that case is necessarily diminished a little bit. But I think you have the rest of the country to sort of buck up those who have been hardest hit. You know, we see, and yesterday in the city of Mariupol, which has been under siege for days on the Sea of Azov, the Russians hit a children's hospital. 17 were injured, 3 people died. And after that moment, one of the city officials said there would be no more time of flowers. And what he meant, we've seen all these videos of Russian POWs being treated very well by Ukrainians. And I think when the children's hospital was struck, a lot of people, including that official, said there no more time of flowers for any Russians we capture. This is absolutely serious. And things like that serve only to, I would say, to strengthen the anger and the sense of morale that they must fight.
As you know, there have been high-level talks between the Ukrainian and Russian foreign ministers. They are expected to meet again. Is there any optimism there? What do you think?
No, I mean, with each of these, you know, whether it's when the Israelis were in Moscow or the meetings in Turkey today, people here aren't focused on that. I mean, they're aware of these things, but it's almost like hearing another air raid alarm in Lviv at this moment. No one expects great results from that. And, you know, every day Zelensky keeps up the refrain about, you know, we need NATO's help, he says. But there's a growing sense that that's not coming, and that the best sort of help is coming from people, volunteers who arrive here, whether for humanitarian efforts or to fight, and the weapons that come in from Europe and from America. But, Bob, there's not much optimism for these talks at this point.
Here's another message from one of our listeners for you, Joe. I want to let you know that I work for SpaceX, and Elon Musk spoke with the president of Ukraine. SpaceX will be sending Starlink kits to Germany en route to Ukraine, with several thousand more to come. Starlink will give them internet access. That's from somebody named Dave, and we checked on this today. Elon Musk has sent 1,500 satellite receivers. There's supposed to be 5,000 more coming. And according to the deputy minister of digital transformation in Ukraine. Once they have those, they're going to be placed around the country to ensure that even if Russians break cell towers or cut landlines, communication will still be possible. And that's very important now, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, I've heard I hear almost daily from people in the Lviv city government, the city council. They really want and need these satellite phones quickly, especially because this is currently sort of the operations command to ensure the strength of the rest of the country. And there is, you know, we've seen in Mariupol and Kharkiv, you know, the internet has been largely taken out. And so this is a real, it's an urgent thing. So I think Ukrainians are very appreciative for people. People love Elon Musk here, by the way, because it's a very innovative country. And so when that news came out, he's even more of a hero here now because of that.
And it's important to combat that Russian misinformation and disinformation. Is the information directed to Russian people still able to get through, Joe?
Well, it can be a difficult thing to figure out. But for example, many Ukrainians have family and friends in Russia. And so I hear personal anecdotes of how these conversations go. Some Russians simply don't want to believe. They can't believe that this war is that big. They think it's only a special operation in the Donbass, you know, the very small territory. Others react with anger to their family and friends. Russians are able through Telegram channels to get information. And Bob, can you still hear me? There was just an audio problem.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We're fine.
Okay. Sorry about that. Our internet is stable, but there was a problem. I'm sorry. Russians are able, you know, if they look hard enough, they can access it, but it does require effort. We see clips of Russian TV now and then where, I mean, it's the whole world says one thing and Russian television says another. So that's the best answer I have. It's very mixed. It's hard to know. The Ukrainians, there's a lot of anger toward Russians because Ukrainians say, look, in 2014, at the Maidan Revolution, we said we want to govern ourselves. We stood up. You know, they withstood the bullets of the secret police, and they took a risk. And because of that, they won their freedom. And now Ukrainians are saying to Russians, isn't it time you wake up instead of unleashing this terror upon Ukraine, upon Europe, and the world?
We hope things remain relatively calm for you there in Lviv. And again, if you'd like to follow Joseph Lindsley's reporting, go to our website, WGNRadio.com. And on our show page, we post Joe's reports and also links so you can follow what he's reporting there as the editor of Lviv Now. Joseph, all the best to you. Can't thank you enough for your daily commentary here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank your listeners for their interest.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.